Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. It is really easy to look at Northumberland County as one homogeneous place. We are this rural community about 90 minutes east of Toronto on the shores of Lake Ontario. And maybe, if we want to be picky, we could talk about West Northumberland and East Northumberland with a division right down the middle using Crammy Township. But if we are going to really be honest with ourselves, do we see Northumberland County in its incredible diversity? Sure, we do lots of things as a county, but there are so many distinctive pockets, and each one relates and reacts to the world in a different way. Today's show points out these contrasts. The first story is a conversation with Nancy Allinson, the executive director of the Trent Hills Chamber of Commerce. It is the last in a series of interviews I have done over the summer with the various chambers and business groups to monitor the economic impact of the pandemic on the ongoing recovery taking place. What is noticeable in this interview is how similar the businesses are in addressing the changes. Yet you will also hear how different things are in Trent Hills from the rest of the county. Then I'm going to speak to Dawood Nasir, a lawyer with Northumberland County Legal Center. He is a specialist in tenants' rights. He will talk about a new piece of legislation from the Ontario government, Bill 184. It completely changes the dynamic around how renters will make up payments to landlords after the moratorium the government placed on evictions due to the pandemic. The impact of these changes will affect anyone who rents. Normally, we would think about these kinds of issues as it pertains to those on the lower rungs of the economic ladder. But with the pandemic, so many people from all walks of life will be affected. His comments will be of interest to anyone who is renting or leasing, regardless of their economic circumstances. And as I said, these stories show how diverse we are, and at the same time, how many of us share a plight. So let's begin with my phone conversation with Nancy Allinson. I am so pleased to have with me today Nancy Allinson, manager of the Trent Hills Chamber of Commerce. Welcome to Consider This, Nancy.
Thanks, Rob, for having me join you today.
How would you characterize the state of businesses in Trent Hills currently?
Well, this time, it still continues to be challenging. We've got businesses who are experiencing, great business. They're doing better than ever. And then we have some businesses that are maybe struggling a little bit. Revenues are down, expenses up. And then there are some, too, that maybe can't operate at the normal capacity, but we're certainly seeing how the businesses, I truly admire what they're doing. They're persevering, they're adapting, they're modifying, they're offering takeout, curbside pickup, or adjusting their protocols, because obviously, they have to make sure they're having a safe environment for their consumers to come into. So that's been really good to see how our businesses have really stepped up and made this transition.
Now, do we know exactly how many are open or doing business and how many are not?
Well, basically in Trent Hills, we would have about 90% would be open. Most of them are doing business in a modified format, whether it's limited capacity. There do tend to be a bit of lineups because of capacity, but consumers have been great, willing to wait. And then we just have a few, mostly in like the event-related business, where it's very limited on who can get into a building. So they're having some struggles being able to even operate. So, but generally speaking, most of the businesses are open, although it is under maybe a different capacity or different hours. Or they've had to adjust how they deliver services. We've got a lot that are doing a hybrid model of offering in-person services along with delivery or curbside pickup.
For those of us who are maybe not familiar with all the terminology, what's an event-based business? Can you give me a couple examples of what that might be?
Oh, sure. So that would be a catering company, event venue, for example, people that provide services to weddings, so wedding caterers, wedding consultants, things like that as well.
Okay. Now, I know we're well into stage three, and the province just marked one of its lowest numbers of new cases earlier this week. Is there any idea or a better feel on how businesses are doing in terms of the changes and how they're adapting? What are business owners telling you are some of the challenges and successes that they're facing?
Well, some of the successes are the how they have changed some of the regulations. For example, a municipality has now broadened it a little bit, so you can add in table service. So your patio, you can add in sidewalk tables. So that certainly is a great advantage. Plus, the weather's helped out there. I think some of the challenges, though, are relating to capacity and the fact, too, that we rely a lot on visitors to our economy. So the ability to, you know, open up to our full visitors is hindering us a little bit. So that's kind of a bit of a challenge for our businesses as well. But I tell you, they, as I mentioned earlier, they have really kind of stepped up to the plate and are adjusting and modifying. Because we are hearing, too, that some of our consumers are still a little bit concerned about going out into the community. So I like where there, some of our businesses are able to offer in-person appointments where they're the only person in the store. Or some of them are still offering delivery, too.
You mentioned earlier tourism. We may not all understand just how big tourism is. What percentage or what portion of a business depends on the tourist trade in Trent Hills?
Well, each of our three communities are very unique. For example, Warkworth, it's a small little artisan village, lots of boutiques and shops. And the majority of their economy would be visitors. We don't have the specific numbers, but I would guess between about 90%. In Hastings, we have a little bit of a blend there, but they are certainly rely on visitors as well, being right on the Trent Severn Waterway. In Campbellford, there is a little bit more of a mix to, you know, probably 60-40, 60 visitors, 40 local. But just to give you an idea of numbers, the Randy Gorge Suspension Bridge, for example, last month in July, the Google listing attracted 300,000 people to that listing. So that's a huge amount of people that unfortunately aren't going to be able to travel as much, but maybe in the future they'll come and see us. So that's our hope, is that right now we're looking at ways that we can entice those visitors to experience something virtually online or remember us, you know, when the times are back to normal where we can experience things firsthand.
And I know that there's been some tensions around visitors and things have had to been closed down and reconfigured because there were actually concerns, health concerns about the number of people that were using some of these tourism spots. Is that correct?
That's true. And I think our advice to businesses, and a lot of them are taking this, is to put on your page what your safety protocols are to reassure visitors or local residents when they come to your place of business that you've got some really good safe protocols. For those of us that are marketing the areas, we're really focusing on hyper-local, sort of a new tourism term, where we're really focusing on consumers and neighboring communities. Now, there are many, you know, respectful visitors, but unfortunately, there are a few that maybe impact how others can enjoy some of our local attractions. So unfortunately, when we do have to close them, it does prove a bit of a challenge. Something we have found, though, with the suspension bridge closure, we've noticed more people coming into the downtowns. So more people are going to experience those shops and downtowns that are keeping our main streets vibrant, because that's so important to our small communities in Northumberland.
So even though the attraction isn't drawing them, they're still coming, and instead of going to the attraction, they're now coming into the downtowns or into the retail sectors.
Yes, we are starting to see some of that, which will be a long-term growth for us in the long term, because they'll spread the words, you know, instead of just going to the outskirts of town, they're going to come into the downtowns. The other side of that, too, is we're getting obviously a lot of inquiries about the bridge, because we're the Tourism Information Office. And we're taking advantage of that and saying, hey, would you like to join our email list? So when the bridge is open at a certain point or when there's other things to do, you can get on that list. You can find out what you can do, maybe virtually, to experience Trent Hills virtually. Westman has some great virtual programming. So we're taking a little bit of an opportunity there to invest in our future and try to capture some of those tourists that maybe can't come and visit now, that maybe in the future they might be able to.
You've alluded to this now a number of times, that, you know, the online component. And I just wonder, I know that online retail is becoming a big part of this recovery and online initiatives are becoming a big part of the recovery. What is the status within Trent Hills? Is there any collaboration going on? Or how many people are doing this on their own or both happening? How are businesses and other aspects of the economy adapting to the online component?
Well, you really hit the mark there when you said collaboration, because that's what we've noticed is more people collaborating and partnering because of COVID. So, for example, the Northumberland Tourism and the Business and Entrepreneurship Centre in Northumberland are putting out the digital assessment program where they're going to be providing funding to assist businesses to market themselves online. Now, that could be enhancing what they're already doing. It could be creating something new. So there's certainly some partnerships there. And I know from the Chamber's perspective, we are certainly supporting them in that way. And we've also made changes to our online directory that might help a business that maybe doesn't have that online presence, whereas their directory listing will have that. We're also doing a lot of updating to our both our Chamber website and our tourism website to accommodate those extra needs and maybe put the businesses a little bit more front and center and share how they're doing business, what their hours are, and whether they offer online service. Because we certainly know the consumer is changing now that there's more opportunities for online, and we've got to find that balance of still encouraging them to come into our downtowns and meet the convenience and the safety of ordering online.
Now, I know some other communities in Northumberland, some downtowns and some other chambers have been creating online marketplaces. Are there any plans for Trent Hills to do this?
We wouldn't be creating an online marketplace. We already have a Buy Local, Buy Smart group in the Facebook page. We find a lot of our businesses, it's that hybrid model is what they're looking for. Because at the same time that, you know, we want to encourage people to go online so they can still shop safely, or, you know, it's convenience. They've learned that convenience. We still want to really focus on getting people into the downtowns. So the businesses that have that hybrid model, it's going to be great. Like if all of a sudden things, you know, take a backward turn, they're going to have that available. But they still are inviting people into our downtowns. One of our businesses mentioned that, you know, maybe the silver lining to this is that all of a sudden people really value those small businesses that we have in our downtowns, the services they provide, the shops they have, and it may actually end up being a revitalization, may appreciate them more.
Fascinating. What about, though, in terms of technology and businesses who are adapting or adopting these technologies? You know, some are very savvy at this and others may not be. What is the Chamber doing to help those who are maybe less technology-oriented to get their businesses online so that they can take advantage of that portion of the recovery?
Absolutely. That's a great point. Something we've always offered is basically a Facebook 101 where they come into our office and do a 101 where we help to get them started and going. Our role with the Northumberland County Tourism Digital Assessment Project is once they're assessed, they have a staff person who assess every element of the business's digital online presence, and then we sit down with them and then go through a plan, three easy steps that they can help to implement right away, and maybe it also measures where they're doing well, so they don't lose that as well in striving for all these, you know, online shopping and things like that. We want to make sure they've got a good solid foundation. We're also doing a lot to support them in their efforts to market what they're doing as well. We've got some campaigns rolling out in September, October. They're going to really focus on Buy Local, and it's going to reflect those businesses that are offering an online presence, how they can further improve their online presence.
Now, what are some of the other issues that businesses are facing? I mean, is there anyone struggling with the rent issue? I know it was a big thing at one point. Staffing has been, you know, are people hiring back the same numbers? Are they hiring more or less? Have there been layoffs? You mentioned a little bit about business profitability. Are people keeping their heads above water? Can you paint us a picture of that aspect as the recovery is taking place?
Well, from that perspective, I know we're starting to see a lot of help wanted ads. Businesses are starting expanding, going back to somewhat more normal hours. So as they do that and they're able to expand their capacity, they're able to bring more staff on. I know the wage subsidy has been a huge help for a lot of the businesses, as well as the grants. Really, what we hear from a lot of our businesses is how much they need the government subsidies or grants to support them right now, because with the lack of capacity, the revenues just aren't there. So that's really key to getting these businesses up and running back to what might have been a semblance of their normal state. It's still proving difficult. There's still a few businesses, and there's very few of them falling through the cracks who maybe aren't eligible for some of the government programs. So those are the ones that I think we all really need to look. How can we help them on an individual basis? I know we're constantly in contact with some of those businesses to help them. Here's a latest program, or here's something else that might help you. And I think rather than us looking at, you know, the entire business community, this has helped us to really focus and narrow in down on specific individual businesses and what do they need to help them move forward.
Do you feel that the various levels of government have been stepping up with the right programs? I mean, especially when you're talking about these ones that are starting to fall through the cracks. I mean, these are the ones that, you know, maybe need the attention now. I mean, are you finding that the various levels are stepping up to sort of putty in those cracks before they get serious?
I like how you put that, putty in that cracks, because that's exactly what's happening. I know the Northumberland Community Futures Development Corporation, they have got a similar program that assists businesses who don't fall into the sort of the mainstream funding. And with the Business and Entrepreneurship Center in Northumberland, the new funding for the digital enhancements, if a business doesn't fall into the digital mainstream category, then they've got some funding to help them there for subsidies actually to help enhance their digital presence. So I think everybody is really acutely aware of some of the gaps and how can we address those.
Now, how are businesses finding it in terms of things like physical distancing and wearing masks and doing curbside pickup? I mean, masks are being said to be mandatory, and yet, as we know, throughout the county, there have been anti-mask groups, there's been protests, there's been some real divisions around masks and masks wearing. What is the chamber advising to business owners, and how are the chamber members responding to all of this?
Well, something that we've found is our businesses are doing a fabulous job at meeting all these new mandates. Like each month, it seemed like it was something new they had to adapt to, and they have just done an amazing job, and I know their customers really appreciate it. Something we're doing right now is we are creating a video series, print campaign, on how our businesses are, as I said earlier, stepping up to the plate to make places safe for their customers. And I think that's what the consumer wants to hear. We hear more people that support wearing masks. You know, we run a very busy Service Ontario office, our visitor information center. And I can speak firsthand that all of our customers coming through have been fabulous. So we're very lucky in that our businesses are following the mandates. They are, in fact, they're going above and beyond in some cases. I can certainly say that. So it's challenging when, you know, those few people maybe have difference of opinions with the majority in this case.
Are they allowing people without masks into their stores? Or is there any sort of open revolt or anything like that? Or is everybody pretty much towing the line?
As I said earlier, everybody's doing a fabulous job here of following these guidelines. In some cases, they're providing masks for them, either complimentary. They're charging a nominal fee. In one case, a business is charging $1, but they're donating it to the hospital. So, and I know in our case, we have a case where if somebody doesn't come in with a mask, well, we've got measures that they can come into the office and then carry on through. So, as I said, our businesses are really adapting well. And, you know, I'm really thrilled that we've got the local residents, consumers and shoppers and customers who are really following what the businesses are recommending. And it's making it so much easier for them to do that because they've got so many other demands on them right now, you know, with the social distancing and staff are working with masks and sometimes shields and the working conditions are much more difficult than they ever were before. So it's terrific that our customers, our consumers are, you know, following the guidelines.
That's really interesting because I know the reopening guidelines are very detailed and extremely explicit. Is the chamber doing anything to assist retailers and other businesses in navigating those details and as they reopen and they restart and they're gathering momentum?
Yeah, as soon as this all started, we had a very structured, you know, email contact list or connect with our businesses. We started feeding information out immediately. And as I mentioned earlier, sometimes it needs a little bit of customization. So we started looking at different sectors. Okay, they need to see this again. Or when we're out talking with people, oh, you know, we've got some information, we can send that to you. Because they're busy running their businesses and doing all these adjusting and modifying. And if we can be a resource to feed that information out to them, find out where it is. You know, I was accessing the 800 number on the federal page. I was contacting our MP or MPP. They're great resources of information, referring people. And I think that's a role that we as a business organization or as a colleague, a fellow employee at a business, we can all support our businesses by, you know, when we hear something or find out some information, let's pass it on.
I know at a municipal level, there's been some talk and some negotiations between various chambers and business groups to hold special initiatives. I know Brighton looked at an open air mall. Coburg has had a number of events where they're inviting people to come downtown and they close off the downtown and make it a pedestrian walkway. You mentioned earlier your own Shop Local. I know there's been lots and lots about Shop Local and those types of campaigns. Is there anything you are doing collaboratively with the municipality in terms of special events or special things to help support the business?
Well, something we did that doesn't sound too flashy, but it's certainly needed, was visitor amenities. We really needed to encourage our consumers and shoppers to stay in the downtown. So at the beginning of this year, we partnered with our municipality to get the public toilets out there. We got a grant to support students. Students never worked before. They're cleaning them twice a day, 7 days a week, 9 units in all 3 communities. So that's not very glamorous. It certainly is needed. And we've heard lots of good comments on that. They're right front and center in the downtown. We're also partnering with the municipality is also a partner on the revitalizing your digital presence as well. So we've been working with Kira Mees. She's community development officer there. She's running the digital Main Street program for us. And they're also partnering with us on our newest program, which is a Canada-wide Buy Local, Canada United. I'm not sure if you heard about that, but that's a Canada-wide program that August 28th to the 30th, it's going to be a Canada United weekend, a campaign to support small businesses across Canada. So working very heavily with that. The municipality is going to be working with us to promote it as well. And we're hoping it's going to be the equivalent of a Black Friday, August 28th, 29th, and 30th in all over Canada, but especially for us in Trent Hills.
We've seen a lot of innovation and we've seen a lot of creativity as businesses respond to the current situation. Would you have one story you can tell us, one example you can give us, an anecdote about this creativity and this innovation that's been going on?
Well, I think for sure it has to be the online services that people are providing. One of our, or the hybrid model. So one of our businesses, it's a natural health food store. They have literally created a bubble around their cash counter. So when their customers come in, they don't have to touch anything. The customer feels completely safe. They're one of the very first ones as well to offer the curbside service or the delivery. So I think it's where businesses that are able to still provide that in-person customer and or consumer experience in a health and safe manner, that can also adapt to the hybrid model of where they're offering something online, they're offering pickup curb, is really sort of the innovation. And it seems it's almost the little things that are really going to matter moving forward rather than great big giant huge innovations. We have a lot of businesses that have been able to transition to delivering another product or service, but it's all these businesses that are making all these many, many little tweaks in what they're offering to really provide a fulsome experience for the consumer.
Are we going to see businesses go under? I mean, is the town going to lose, or the Trent Hills going to lose some? And what impact is that going to have on the economy?
Well, that's to be seen. We certainly hope that's not the case, but it may prove that that is the case. I know we do have a couple buildings that have been for sale, and there's certainly some interest in that. So our hope is that any buildings that are for sale, you know, somebody will come in and they'll create an environment where there might be different, maybe pop-up businesses, or we've got a lot of home-based businesses, and maybe there's an opportunity now to find out how we can transition a home-based business into a storefront as well. So we have to look at opportunities like that and look a little bit further ahead that, yes, there may be empty storefronts, and what can we do as an organization? Who can we find to partner with? You know, Northumberland County, they have formed an economic recovery task force, and that's certainly going to be a great resource when we start to look at if there are empty buildings popping up.
So what's on your agenda going forward then?
So right now we are really focusing on marketing our local community. We've got a radio, print, digital campaign going out. We're going to be telling the stories of our local businesses and really focusing on how our local residents are ambassadors to our community. You know, there are so many ways to help businesses. Perhaps it's share a local experience, a story or activity you've done there. Recommend them to your friends, a favorite restaurant, a shop, or something unique. Or if there's a service, have they exceeded your expectations? We really need to get it out there what these businesses are doing and refer them to our friends, our relatives, and our neighbors. They may seem like little things, but for business going through COVID-19, it's going to really add up. And it's going to look towards the future and how they can sustain and thrive in their business.
Nancy Allinson, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Great. Thanks, Rob. It's a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.